We've got two readings today, one from Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 6, and then the next one over in Matthew 8. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we esteemed him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So turning over now to Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gifts Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. "He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases." Amen.
Well, role models. Role models. I remember going camping. I was about 14 at the time, and one of the families we went camping with was a guy who was about 20, I guess. And over that week of camping, and there was cooking and camping and hiking and mucking around in the bush, I'd latched on to this older guy, and he wanted to hang out with me. He was an outdoorsy guy, so that was great for me. He wanted to talk to me about plants and animals in the bush. He was interested in me. So for a 14-year-old boy to have an older friend like that, it's just awesome. I remember him. I remember that week. In my life, I've had positive role models. More than just a moment as well, more than just a week, you know, like my own dad, my older brothers, youth leaders. And I think young boys and girls are designed, we are wired to crave role models. You know, young people are impressionable. It's a beautiful thing when they're impressed in the right way. I'm sorry if you haven't had good role models in your life. I realize that happens. But I suspect for most of us, when we're older, most of us have less role models, Sadly, we get cynical. Sadly, we think we've seen it all already. So today, as we get back into Matthew's gospel, Matthew's record of Jesus, Matthew's time with Jesus, my prayer is that you would be open to role models. You'd be impressed by certain role models. Role models of faith. Now, the clue that this is important is that today we're going to see that Jesus himself is impressed. I mean, that's something, isn't it? You know, in our culture, though, role models tend to be the phony, plastic, beautiful, popular people on Instagram and whatever. But the role models here are a disease-ridden outcast and an ethnic outsider, an invasion army, an occupying soldier. Not the typical types that we would think we could be attracted to them, but we're supposed to be impressed. We're supposed to think, wow, I want to be like that. Their impressive faith is being commended. It's being recommended to us. So firstly, the faith of a leper. The faith of a leper that says, if Jesus is willing. This is how I want us to think about this guy. The faith of a leper that says, if Jesus is willing. So at the start of chapter 8, we're told that Jesus comes down from the mountain. And there are large, adoring crowds with him. This is the effect that Jesus is having. At the time, Jesus is the hottest thing in town. We're going to see that Jesus has no interest in that. But that's how people are responding to him. And then at verse 2, something shocking takes place. It's shocking because a man with leprosy comes to Jesus. Now, leprosy was a horrible condition. It's a mildly contagious bacterial infection. Today it's quite curable. Back then it wasn't. And you can Google images if you want later on from poor countries to see the damage and the disfigurement from people with untreated leprosy. It was a horrible condition to have. Yeah, and here's a story. You know, early last year, at the very start of the COVID pandemic, a couple on my street, neighbours, got COVID. They'd just been travelling through Italy and then they went for a cruise, you know, just bound to get it really. But this was all before hotel quarantine. So Kelly and Craig, they have to lock themselves in the house for a couple of weeks and they have to ride it out. And I jokingly said to them, if I ever see them on the street, I'm calling out unclean, unclean. Now that phrase comes from leprosy and the Bible. According to Leviticus 13, verse 45, people with leprosy, they had to live on the outskirts of town, they had to keep their hair long, their toes, clothes torn. Basically, they had to stand out as a warning to everyone. They had to cover their mouths as they walked along crying, unclean, unclean. Leviticus 13, verse 45. It's not that the people with leprosy lived with social distancing. No, they lived with total isolation. Imagine everyone when they see you, they don't see so much a person, but they see someone who's untouchable, unwelcome, unclean. You know, this incurable condition and the way people are treating you, well, it's just devastatingly lonely. It really is suffering upon suffering. So back to this moment, this poor leper comes through a crowd. Imagine the stares. Imagine the shouts. Imagine social media would be going crazy right now. How dare that person do that? You know, I get the sense this guy does not care at all. His eyes are only for Jesus. He gets close to Jesus, probably closer to a person than he's been for many, many years. And he's on his knees before Jesus. He's on his knees. That's humility. He calls Jesus Lord. That's more than a polite title like teacher. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. We don't know how he's come to know about Jesus, but he has. And notice he doesn't ask, Lord, if you are able. He doesn't say, Lord, if you have the power. No, this is beautiful faith. If you are willing, I know you can, so if you will it, please make me clean. This guy with leprosy, the crowds are shocked by his behaviour, the untouchable coming close to Jesus. But Jesus is about to top that. I mean, because verse 3, Jesus reaches out to touch him. He doesn't have to do that, by the way. We're going to see that by the next moment. But Jesus reaches out his hand and touches the guy, which no one ever wants to touch. And Jesus says, I am willing. Be clean. Think about this from a couple of perspectives. I mean, just the loving act of touch. We all need to be touched. We all need to be touched. A hug, a pat on the back, a handshake, a kiss. You know, with the Swan family, we've had been the thing going called a family hug. All of us would come in for a big hug. But we do find that these days the teenagers can be not quite as keen for it. We've got to drag them in, kicking and screaming. But we do it because we know touch is good. You know, to be touched is to be human. To be touched is to feel loved. And I just want to say to all parents of resistant teenagers, yes, they need to be their own person. They need to set up boundaries, but just don't give up on trying to give them hugs. So Jesus gives this poor leper this act of humanity, this act of love. He touches him. The other perspective on this is that as Jesus touches him, Jesus heals him. He cleanses him. Imagine having such power. You know, with the touch, it's not like you're infected with a disease, but Jesus goes the other way. He infects with his healing. Wow, wouldn't that be amazing if that's the treatment for COVID? You know, if you have COVID, actually come close. If you got COVID, come close because we've got to touch you so that you're healed. Wouldn't that be amazing? In faith, this leper asks, if only Jesus is willing, and Jesus shows he is more than willing. And verse 4, Jesus isn't interested in becoming for the crowd this miracle worker sideshow act. He tells the leper, do not tell anyone, but do what's necessary. Go to the priest, show them that you're clean, offer a gift so that the authorities know that you don't anymore have to say unclean, unclean. Now, question for you is, would you ever think of a poor outcast as a diseased leper as your role model for life? I don't think we naturally would. But his faith. He knows Jesus heals. So he only needs to know if Jesus is willing to heal him. So that's the faith of a leper. Next up, this Roman soldier. The emphasis is not only is Jesus willing, he most certainly is more than able. Start from verse 5 there. Jesus goes into the town of Capernaum and meets a Roman centurion, which is the name of a Roman army officer. At the time, the Romans were the colonizing power, the hated occupying force in control. You know, think something like occupied France during World War II. You know, the Romans are the Nazis. This is the way it was. You know, if everyone gives a wide berth to a leper because of his condition, everyone gives wide berth to a Roman soldier because of his ethnicity, his status, what he does, his job, his brutality. And this Roman officer has a servant who's in really bad shape. Comes to Jesus, Lord. That's that word again, Lord. It's more than just politeness. He says, Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus is motioning that he's going to go to the Roman soldier's house. You know, realize that. Jesus before touches a leper, now he's willing to go to a hated Roman soldier's home. You know, Jesus really just doesn't care about playing by the rules. And then we have this incredible exchange. We see it in verse 8. The Roman officer makes it clear, no. You think of going to my house? No, don't do that. I don't deserve you coming to my home. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. This Roman soldier, he's not just blowing smoke. He's not just trying to pump up Jesus' tires. No, he knows that Jesus is willing. If Jesus is willing, he is most certainly able. Says, I'm under authority. I tell soldiers to come, go, do this. You know, if I say, give me 50, they have to give me 50. You know, I have authority. So he's saying of Jesus, I know you're just like that. Not commanding soldiers, that's easy, but commanding healing. Wow. I mean, check out verse 10. Jesus is so impressed. Maybe you know this story, but think about this. I mean, it's got to be something to impress Jesus, right? I mean, if anyone would be hard to impress, I mean, it's got to be Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ who has come into the world, the King. How are you going to make Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, go, wow, that's impressive? Well, it seems to be. It's this sort of faith. Jesus wants us to be impressed. This is that role model I'm talking about. See, verse 10, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Jesus is willing and Jesus is able. And we'll come back to his words in verses 11 and 12. But go down to verse 13 when Jesus says to the centurion, go and it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant is healed that very same hour. This time it's not a touch. Doesn't even bother with a house call, does he? He is just healed. I just want to make the point. Jesus, some people think that Jesus is just this moral, inspirational teacher. But you've got to ask yourself, well, where does that even come from? You have to come to terms with the Jesus, the only Jesus there is, Jesus who heals at a touch and Jesus heals at a word. Now, I am talking about role models today, that we should be impressed with a sick, suffering leper, Lord, if you are willing, and then a despised Roman soldier. Lord, you are so able. Now, here's the thing. It's more than coincidence that we're supposed to be impressed by those who were excluded and those on the outside. Those who suffered and those who were rejected. Because it takes us to the very mission, the very purpose and heart of Jesus. Before, Wendy read for us from Isaiah 53. In fact, I don't know if you noticed it, but a little bit of it is actually quoted in Acts chapter 10, verse 17, right at the end of the passage. But I'll just read verse 17 again, where Matthew says, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. I want us to think about more about these words of Isaiah, which was an ancient prophecy hundreds of years before, spoken of the coming of the Christ, the King, the coming of Jesus. Now, we've got some of it on the screen. Now, these aren't words about a leper. These words are not about a Roman soldier. They're words about Jesus. But I want to say this to you. Let the likes of a leper, let the likes of a Roman soldier sort of fill your thoughts as we read this about Jesus. It says, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Notice those words. You could overlay a leper with that. You could overlay a despised Roman soldier with that, but then it's actually Jesus. See, Jesus came to relate to them, to love them, to heal them, by his life to be like them. It was, and his own suffering and his rejection is the full-blown reality that we see as he goes to a cross, to experience pain and be despised, afflicted and to die, so that God's judgment that would hang on us actually falls upon him. The rest of the passage in Isaiah goes, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. See that? An inner, deeper, eternal healing comes, not because an infection is taken away and a fever is removed, but because Jesus lovingly died in our place. The wound is healed when, with faith in Jesus, those who are broken off because of their sin and wickedness are brought back to him. I'll put it like this. There are role models here. There is a leper. There is a Roman soldier. Let yourself be impressed by them. Dare I say, if you're not impressed, we just haven't thought enough about what they're doing here. I mean, the guts of a leper to come to Jesus, walking through a crowd, standing there in front of them. And he says, Lord, if you are willing. A despised Roman soldier who drops those lines, you are able. Such faith in Jesus. But also look beyond them to Jesus himself, who faced rejection and suffering for you. Right now, I want to bring us back to Jesus' words there to the Roman soldier, commenting on his faith. And he says there from verse 10, truly I tell you, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus is making the point that, yeah, you know, in the crowd there are those respectable, moral, upright insiders of the Jewish establishment, you know, those religious leaders, the subjects of the kingdom, that's who Jesus is referring to. But they're going to miss out on God, face judgment themselves, while people who are on the outside, a leper, a Roman soldier, you know, who would never, ever get invited to a party, but will come from the east and the west, wherever they come from, with faith in Jesus, and they will take their place at the feast in heaven. By the way, I don't think we think enough about heaven at all. And heaven is not this everlasting, forever going on, hushed, quiet library time, you know, all painted white or something, you know, full of boring people. No, heaven is a banquet with friends and joy. Heaven is when crying is replaced with laughter. Think of a moment when you're sitting amongst loved ones and you're just eating delicious food and you know you are just at the right place where you want to be, and you're amongst people you love and people who love you. That's heaven. So here's a moment in time when Jesus shows those who have such faith in Jesus words of, if you are willing and you are so able, and there are people on the outside, people who are suffering, despised, rejected, and with their faith in Jesus, Jesus makes them well. I'll bring it back to us today. I don't know all the suffering and struggle that you're facing. I don't know it, but I guarantee in a group of people this big, the list is going to be very long of the type of suffering and sickness we're facing. I guess there's one thing we can strike off the list, and that is leprosy. I'm figuring we can strike leprosy off the list here at Christ Central. But there's plenty of other things. You know, experiencing acute pain, migraines, depression, anxiety, infertility, cancer, developmental issues with your kids, dementia, diabetes, autism, eczema, heart condition, relentless nerve pain, back pain, the list goes on. This room is full of unwell sick people. If you're perfectly fine at the moment, enjoy it while you can, because it ain't going to last. And what we need to realize, in wanting healing, in wishing things were better, well, we have these role models of faith in Jesus, because Jesus is more than willing. He's completely able. But even if we don't experience physical healing like those guys, Jesus was always pointing to something else. That he was the despised one. He's the suffering one. The one who was rejected, who went to the cross to suffer in our place. By his wounds, we are healed. He's willing. He's so able. He's so willing. He didn't just touch a leper, did he? He willingly went to a cross. He's so able. He didn't just heal a soldier's servant at the cross. He went to the cross and was punished in our place, and the debt was fully paid for us at the cross. He is so able. If you're not a Christian, this is the faith that's needed. If you are a Christian, this is the faith to keep having. To trust that Jesus heals. He heals deeply and he heals finally and eternally, a healing to completely replace the pain and the sickness that we face today. Now, I've got to say, my struggle and pain and sickness and aches and pains barely rate on the scale compared to what some of you face. But my response in those moments is still very human. Why is this happening to me? Why, God, can't you make things better for me? You know, I want out of that hard thing. I want my life to be good and happy and comfortable. So if you're like me at that point, we need something of the faith that the leper and the Roman soldier displays. Let's trust that Jesus is willing. He is more than able. And Jesus willingly went to the cross so that we might be healed. And in Jesus, there is final blessed joy and complete healing. Jesus gives us the kingdom of heaven. Yes, we go through suffering and hard times, but let's have faith in Jesus, even a persevering faith, because in the end, he is the one who will save us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that he came and he was rejected. He was despised. He is the one who those could not and would not esteem him. Father, thank you that he went through that for us. And he went to the cross. He paid the price. Our sin and wickedness and iniquities was laid upon him, so that in him, by his wounds, we might be healed. Thank you so much for that. In the midst of pain, in the midst of suffering, help us to have that faith, a simple faith, a plain faith by which we trust in Jesus, that indeed he is the one who saves us. He is indeed the one who will take us home to enjoy that heavenly feast. So, Father, by your Spirit, work in us so that we would trust in Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.